Welcome to the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, and today we are talking awards, Defensive Player of the Year, and Rookie of the Year. We talked about the MVP conversation on the last episode. If you didn't hear that, check that out. But let's start with Defensive Player of the Year. So there are a few candidates here: Victor Wembanyama, Rudy Gobert, and then I think two other players that deserve to be mentioned is Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo. Both of these players have had fantastic defensive years, look really, really good in the metrics. Not quite at the peak of Wembanyama and Gobert, but again, Bam and AD playing at a really high level, maybe in a different season, could have been the Defensive Player of the Year. So just wanted to start with that. We're going to zoom into Gobert and Wembanyama because they're kind of neck and neck here right at the top. So we're going to start with some of the granular stats, and then we'll get to the all-in-one numbers here at the end of this conversation. So both of these players really easy to compare because they play the same position, and therefore a lot of the stats you can kind of just like put them in the air, close one eye, squint, and figure out who's better. So when it comes to rim protection, which is how much you contest shots at the rim, and then when you do contest those shots, how much more difficult it is to score on you, both Victor and Rudy were very, very elite this year. Very difficult to score on them, near the top of the league. But Rudy does have the edge here. He was slightly more effective, and he did contest more shots per 75. So not only was he doing it more often, but he was doing it a little bit more effectively. So I think he gave the slight edge to here for Rudy, but Victor still very, very good on a per-possession basis when it comes to contesting shots at the rim. The intimidation factor, though, I think this is a very, very interesting conversation. We have two more stats we're going to look at. Rim deterrence, which is when you are on the court, how often does the other team, or how much less do they take shots at the rim than when you're on versus off the court? So both Rudy and Victor, almost identical right at the top of the league compared to other bigs in terms of rim deterrence, which makes sense. Rudy has been in the league for a long time, very difficult to score on, and Wembanyama very quickly earned a reputation. There's a lot of highlights online of like multiple players on a fast break deciding to just not even attempt a shot, not even pick up their dribble in the paint once Victor has gotten back on defense. So from a rim deterrent standpoint, already two of the best in the league. And a block per 75 kind of standpoint, Rudy very, very good, over two blocks per 75. Victor, though, in a super elite, super, super elite, over four blocks per 75. So from an intimidation standpoint, both of their rim deterrence is very good, but the blocks, I mean, this is all-time blocks numbers that like we've really ever seen in the league out of Victor. So really impressive stuff on top of it being his rookie year. If we move on to defensive playmaking in terms of looking at deflections and steals, Rudy is not very good at this. This is like he's a classic anchor big. If you meet him at the rim, he's going to be really effective. But in terms of getting in passing lanes or stripping, you know, driving players, or, you know, in a post-up type situation, poking a ball loose, he really doesn't do that much at all. He's near the bottom of the league in both deflections and steals. What's interesting about Wembanyama is he is hyper elite at this. He is near the best guards in the league, where he's averaging a little more than 3.5 deflections per 75 and more than a steal and a half, which, again, if you were an all-defensive guard, that would be really, really impressive. That he's giving you that along with the gaudy block numbers and just really, really good kind of down-to-down production in terms of affecting shots at the rim. This is really impressive stuff that not only do you just get excited about in this year, but again, kind of looking forward of like, what is this peak and like, what is this going to look like when he's 25? Because he's 20 years old right now. Moving on to looking at foul trouble. This is something that can get bigs into trouble, but it can limit your playing time. It can really hurt you in a high leverage game if you have to sit in the second or third quarter because you rack up some early fouls. So both Rudy and Victor, they don't have a lot of issues with foul trouble. We have a stat foul trouble percentage. It looks at, you know, when you're carrying fouls throughout the game. It's a pretty basic formula, but neither of them really have an issue compared to all of their bigs. And Wemby's ability to just not really commit fouls in general is really impressive. He commits less than 3 fouls per 75, which is a pretty crazy rate. Anthony Davis, who I mentioned earlier, also very, very good at this. So it means that you can stay on the floor longer because you're not going to limit your minutes in that way. And then you're also going to keep teams out of the bonus because you're not racking up those team fouls, which can really hurt you in a second and third quarter situation. So if you get in the bonus early, like especially like a young team versus a really high-end veteran team, you just see them squeeze out like 5-6 extra points sometimes, and it can really take the air out of a team. So we've looked at rim protection. We've looked at defensive playmaking. We've looked at the ability to not commit a lot of fouls. So there's a lot of things to kind of look at beyond kind of the basic box score numbers. And they look very good for both players, but I'm definitely leaning Wembanyama for the award. If we go to D. LeBron, which is our overall defensive impact metric, Wemby is a shade under 3. And Gobert is about 2.85. So in terms of all-in-one metric number comparisons, like those numbers are pretty darn close to each other. Wemby, again, with the slight edge. So that's close enough to where the all-in-one is not telling you it's clearly one player or another. That's why you need to dive in further and look at some more of the defensive metrics to kind of figure things out, like rim deterrence would be a good separator. Turns out both of those guys are both really good at it, really similar numbers. But we went through a lot of different things in terms of, you know, your rim contest rate, how effective you are on those contests, and going through all the defensive metrics, looking at deflections, things that are not in the traditional box score. I ultimately came out with Wemby as the defense player of the year for me. I think both of them have been at the level of absolutely earning the award, but this year, Wembanyama, it's hard because you don't want to give him the award because he's a rookie, because you want to factor out, you want to be impressed still with, hey, this guy was 19 to start the year, he's 20 now, but you don't want to give like bonus points for that. I think that's a really hard thing to do. That's why I look at a bunch of graphs while I podcast. It kind of pulls me back to reality. I think the separator for me is the deflections and the steals, that Gobert is not very good at that, and that Wembanyama is in an elite territory. I think that's huge. And I think the counterpoint to that is, well, Taylor, isn't that factored into the box score component of D. LeBron? Yes, but also factored into D. LeBron is that Rudy Gobert is playing with multiple really strong defenders. Jaden McDaniels, one of the best wing defenders in the league. Kyle Anderson coming off the bench, an extremely versatile and valuable defensive forward. I mean, Anthony Edwards, when he does guard on ball, is actually pretty darn good. So there's a lot of, I think also Nikhil Alexander-Walker, really good athlete on that team. There's a lot of defensive talent on the Timberwolves roster. And with Wembanyama, I looked it up earlier this season, there's not even another positive defender on that roster. He's just simply not playing with a lot of NBA talent. And that is going to affect your all-in-one numbers. So you do have to factor that into the kind of D. LeBron conversation. So there's a lot of information to take in. I don't really think there's a wrong vote here. Like if you're leaning Gobert, I'm not too upset with it, but I do think what Wemby's been able to do this year has been, I mean, just really otherworldly defensively. The highlights are great, but then also when you dig into the analytics, you're like, no, this is pretty darn good on a per-possession basis. So that's going to wrap it up for Defense Player of the Year. I'm definitely leaning Wembanyama over Gobert. And that's funny because like Basketball Index traditionally has been a very, very pro-Gobert place. So sometimes I'll be talking about a player and someone will be like, oh, you never liked this team or this player, or da-da-da. You definitely can't say that with Gobert because Basketball Index has been probably his biggest fan over the last decade. So and in terms of numbers, we've only existed since 2018, but if you go back, because our numbers go back to 2014, if you go over the decade, he is one of the most highly rated defensive players in a majority of the defensive metrics. So let's move to the Rookie of the Year race. This is between Wembanyama and Chet, and it would be hard to have a player win Defensive Player of the Year but not win Rookie of the Year. But the point of this comparison is I want to shine a light on how good Chet's rookie season has been. Because Wembanyama has gotten a lot of the spotlight, and deservedly so. He is looking to be a generational player. But Chet, it gets a little lost on the Thunder because, yes, there was a lot of high expectations for this team, but SGA and Jalen Williams, they sometimes steal the spotlight. What Chet's been able to do as a two-way big as a rookie, I mean, he's posted one of the best rookie seasons in our 11-year database, so that's really great. And then from a WAR standpoint, he's actually been about exactly as valuable as Wembanyama, both about 6.5 wins, and he's played more, and that does factor into your WAR. If you look at the per possession, LeBron, Wemby is clearly better, but just terms and overall output. But just in terms of overall output of value this season on the court, they've been neck and neck. So obviously when the WAR's this close, you go to the LeBron to try to figure things out in awards. Because again, the WAR is really important here because with awards, it's like, well, what are you going to have Joel Embiid win MVP? I know on a per possession basis, he's been phenomenal, but he only played half the season. So that's where like the WAR would factor in, where it's like, oh, well, clearly he's not there. So I like to use WAR for awards because it's like, what did you produce this year on the court? And then when those are too close, then you go to LeBron. You're like, who's been better per possession? I think that's a pretty intuitive way to do it. Zooming in, Chet, really, really fantastic this year, both on and off ball. Has actually outperformed Victor. Off ball, by a lot. He was actually one of the best off ball players in the league in terms of scoring, which means on assisted shots, taking into account shot quality and volume. And part of that is playing with much, much, much better talent. But interestingly enough, the self-created shot making, Chet outperformed Victor as well. So Chet didn't have to do nearly as much of it because the true usage between the two, Victor, very, very heavy true usage. Chet, more middle of the road, again, playing with a potential MVP candidate and Jalen Williams and just a lot of other talent on the roster. But I think if you told that to people, they just wouldn't know. Again, the overall shooting talent, when you combine the off-ball and the on-ball, if he's better at both, he's going to be better there. The playmaking talent, you got to give the nod to Victor. He's been a better playmaker than Chet. But again, just in terms of overall offensive impact, both of these players really similar in some of the better offensive rookie seasons in terms of offensive output we've seen in 11 years. So really good stuff. One thing that was interesting, Chet did not isolate very much this year, but when he did, extremely effective. Wembanyama isolated a heck of a lot and was the most effective rookie we've ever had on isolation. So very, very promising for his career. Any other nuggets in my research I want to bring up? Oh, just from like an overall scoring volume and efficiency standpoint, Victor has the largest scoring volume season. He's averaging more than 25 points per 75 for a rookie. And Chet has one of the most efficient seasons. But what's crazy about him is his combination of efficiency and volume is probably the best we've had in our 11-year database. So this is just a situation where we just had two generational rookies in terms of rookie seasons play at the same time, because Wembanyama looks to be the defense player of the year in my eyes. And he is a... What would be the right word to say? I don't know if you can really say he's a good offensive player yet, because he's really raw and the efficiency numbers are not great, but you got to factor in the situation. He's definitely above average. We'll say that. And Chet clearly above average on both sides of the ball. You just don't see a lot of bigs coming into the league offering that kind of value on both ends of the court for really either of these guys. So just a kind of historic rookie of the year race, and they're right up there with some of the best rookie seasons in our entire database in terms of LeBron and WAR and whatnot. So defense player of the year, Wembanyama number one, Gobert two, and then rookie of the year, Wembanyama one and Chet two. So is there any other award that we should get to on this episode? We talked MVP. We've talked defense player of the year. We've talked rookie of the year. Oh, six. I hate six, man. Six man is just basically like, hey, are you coming off the bench but playing starter minutes? You're going to have more stats than other players. That's really what it is. So I don't even want to pick one. I'm just not going to pick one. And if I have to write an article on it for work, I probably will pick one then. anything else. Coach of the year, I don't really do anything with coaching. I'm not the guy to ask. I'm just going to pick someone. It should hold no weight in your mind. I don't even know who the Magic coach is, but I'm going to say him because the Magic have really overperformed this year. And I think that's the best way to, or maybe one of the best ways to evaluate a coach, where it's like, are they over or underperforming expectations or what you think the talent of the roster is? And the Magic are definitely doing that. Are there any other? Oh, comeback player of the year. I don't know who got hurt last year. And, oh, most improved player. So the problem with most improved player is if you look at it in just a straight LeBron, they were here last year and they're there this year. In terms of biggest jump, you're going to get players that were some of the worst players in the league, and then they're average or slightly above average players, which I don't think is really the best way to do it, because it's definitely not harder to go from the 250th best player to the 118th best player. What's really hard to do is to go from the 48th best player or the 67th best player to a top 30 player. That is infinitely harder. So Tyrese Maxey would be my choice. I think the jump he was able to go from in a playmaking standpoint, but in like it's not really playmaking. It's a turnover standpoint. He was able to drastically increase his assists without really increasing his turnovers. And I just thought that was really impressive. Obviously the scoring is really good. The 3-point shooting, the catch and shoot, there's a lot to his game. It got hard with the Sixers because they sustained just an absurd amount of injuries. But Maxey for me, in terms of most improved, I think is the easy choice. If you're going to have like maybe more of like a dark horse analytics choice, Colin Sexton put up a really good year in Utah. I think he should be in the conversation. But what Maxey was able to do going from a good player to a great player was really impressive. Honestly, maybe like Tyrese Halliburton too. He was already pretty darn good, but to kind of crack that top 20, top 15, that's even more valuable. So if you're going to pick Tyrese Halliburton, I might have had him there multiple years in a row. He just keeps getting so much better. But yeah, my vote will be Maxey. And then I think that's it for awards. I think we're good on awards. We're going to have our Basketball Index All-NBA teams coming out, which is basically the staff at Basketball Index. Everyone's going to submit a ballot. And LeBron, we're going to submit a ballot for the stat LeBron. And then we're going to average that all together. It'll come out in article form. It'll come out in podcast form. And then we'll also do that for the all defensive teams. We're going to do 3 defensive teams because it just makes sense to have 3. I don't know why you'd only have 2. And we did this 2 years ago and people really liked it. We didn't do it last year because I forgot. So I'm not going to forget this year. But that'll wrap it up for this episode. And if you want to talk to me on Twitter @TaylorMetrics, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Index Podcast.